We begin at Keenan Stadium, where UNC football is gearing up for their season opener this Saturday against Florida A&M. We have spent a lot of time this week previewing the team, but today we're going to look slightly off the field at another group that's hoping to shine on Saturday. 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward has more on the UNC and Florida A&M marching bands.
The Marching Tar Heels will not only be collaborating with Florida A&M's band during the pregame show, but also for a special halftime performance. The Florida A&M Marching 100 will perform in front of Wilson Library at 6 p.m. on Saturday, according to UNC band director Jeff Fuchs. UNC's drumline will perform at 6:30 p.m. in the pit with the band to follow. Fuchs said the two bands will work together throughout the day, and both will be a visible part of game day.
For us, it's more of celebrating what ties us together, and that's being in the band. We may do it a little bit differently, but we do band. And that's been the fun part preparing for this weekend.
While the collaboration with Florida A&M presents a unique performance, Fuchs said the marching band has endured several unusual seasons because of COVID-19. The longtime band director noted this fall will mark the first normal season for the group since the start of the pandemic.
First time COVID hit, we were sent home, so we had no band. Last year, we wore protective gear. We wore face masks. We had bell covers on. We stayed isolated, didn't take too many trips because of it, didn't eat or drink on the buses.
Fuchs said this year, the band is not taking precautions against COVID other than following university requirements, which states masks are required on transit. Fuchs added he believes his students are relieved to be back to normal, although there are still concerns with exposure to COVID.
But I think for the most part, they're happy to have normalcy with heightened awareness.
Fuchs said he's excited for the group's upcoming performances this year, especially since every game has a special meaning.
The September 24 game will be performing with the Soul Rebels, which is a New Orleans-style jazz band fused with hip-hop, fused with pop music. Carolina Performing Arts is helping tremendously with that collaboration. We've got our alumni coming back. We've got a high school honor band. We recognize our seniors. So there's a lot of special performances.
To keep up with the Marching Tar Heels, follow their Instagram and Twitter accounts at UNC_bands or listen to them at the game on Saturday. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
Turning to state news now, some positive trends on the COVID-19 front as North Carolina saw drops in every metric last week, most notably a 28% drop in COVID particles found in wastewater. That's the metric we're watching most closely here, and that's the first time in 4 weeks that number has gone down. The state also saw a drop in hospitalizations for the second straight week and a continued decline in the percentage of ER patients who are there for COVID symptoms. In legal news, a transgender prison inmate is likely to get her day in court over whether the state should be required to provide gender-affirming medical care. Connecticut's Zayer Brown says the prison system has failed to dispense prescribed hormones and has denied her request for surgery. Yesterday, U.S. District Judge Max Coburn rejected a motion to dismiss the case. He says it's important to decide whether and to what extent people in custody have a right to gender-affirming treatment. Elsewhere, the state school superintendent has unveiled a plan to keep public school principals from experiencing big pay cuts. Catherine Truitt announced a plan to spend $4.5 million in federal COVID relief funds to offset those possible pay cuts. The state school board will consider that plan next week. The problem revolves around a new system of calculating performance-based pay based on the last year of test scores rather than the last 3 years. Test scores were lower last year due to COVID, so that new system could result in pay cuts as high as $18,000 for some principals if nothing is done. Meanwhile, state transportation officials are making some big plans a little closer to home in Chatham County, where they've unveiled plans for road expansions around the proposed VinFast vehicle plant near Moncure. But residents are concerned because those plans will displace 27 homes, 5 businesses, and a church. And now county leaders say they're hoping to explore other options with the DOT to try to avoid that if possible. Karen Howard is the chair of the Chatham County Board of Commissioners.
So it is certainly not what we would have anticipated or wanted. I think ideally you develop roads in a way that doesn't disenfranchise landowners, that you might be incentivizing some by the offers and making it monetarily feasible for them to sell their property. But certainly nobody wants or anticipated on our board wanted or anticipated people and businesses being displaced. But there's ongoing conversation. I think that the difficulty for us really is that it's not our work, that the county is not doing the work. It is the Department of Transportation, and they have their own goals and objectives. And I understand from a very business end, a very practical end, what and why they do what they do. But there's a human end. And as an elected official, I feel more obligated to stand up for the human end, because the business end has its representatives. It has its lawyers and the advocates. And I have to be the advocate for ordinary people. So, you know, those are some very challenging conversations that are going to have to happen about what can be done, what are alternatives. This is a system that we have practiced in this country in the past, where we have disenfranchised homeowners in order to do something that is, quote unquote, for the greater good. I think there are better ways. And I think we have to have those difficult conversations.
That's Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard speaking there on 97.9 The Hill. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. And time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. The season begins tonight for the Tar Heel men's soccer team. They're hosting Air Force on Dorrance Field this evening at 7:30 as part of the Carolina Nike Classic. 24th-ranked Tar Heels will look to continue an impressive streak tonight. They have never lost a season opener in 11 years under head coach Carlos Simuano. Also in action tonight, UNC women's soccer up to number one in this week's coaches poll after a pair of impressive victories last week. They'll look to get a third tonight when they face Texas on the road. 8 p.m. is start time there. It's a weekend of season openers on campus. UNC men's soccer up first tonight. Tomorrow, the Tar Heel field hockey and volleyball teams will kick off their respective regular seasons. The field hockey team hosts Michigan at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon, while the volleyball team is on the road taking on Colorado State at 9. And, of course, we've been talking about this one. UNC football has its season opener on Saturday, hosting Florida A&M at 8. If you can't make it to Keenan Stadium, tune in to 97.9 The Kill. We've got the whole game for you right here, beginning with Inside Carolina Live at 5. Now we turn to the golf world, where a UNC alum has been turning heads all summer, not just for how he's been playing in tournaments, but also for the journey he took to get there. 97.9 The Kill's Michael Coe here now with the story of Ben Griffin.
It's hard to follow the Chapel Hill golf scene without hearing the name Ben Griffin. The East Chapel Hill High alumnus played 4 years at UNC, helping to take a middling program to new heights. Griffin achieved All-America status as a Tar Heel before graduating in 2018. He appeared to be on track to do big things on the PGA Tour. But the complete shutdown of sports due to the pandemic changed Griffin's plans. Without the ability to play golf professionally, Griffin didn't have a steady income. He chose to step away from the game completely and work for Corporate Investors Mortgage Group in Chapel Hill as a loan officer.
So I wasn't making any money. Wasn't able to pay my own rent without help from, you know, parents and health insurance, whatever it might be. And so I was 24, 25 at the time, and I was like, it's a point in my life where I don't want to have to rely on my parents for anything.
And while working as a loan officer was far from his ultimate career goal, Griffin worked just as hard as he would have at Augusta. His father, Cowan Griffin, is the president of Carolina Realty in Chapel Hill and said he was amazed at how quickly Ben took up his work at CIMG.
But he went all in on getting his mortgage license, and shockingly to it shocked me that he passed every test exponentially quick. I don't even know how you get your license this quickly, but he did, and he went straight to work. I think he was able to compartmentalized to step away from golf and do what he was doing.
Still, Griffin was scheduled to play in a U.S. Open qualifier tournament before the shutdown hit. When sports slowly started coming back that summer, Griffin said he still wanted to compete in the qualifier since he'd already paid for it. CIMG allowed him to play in the tournament, where Griffin very nearly won. Cowan said that tournament, along with being named as a second alternate to the U.S. Open this summer, was Ben's epiphany.
I'm sure it gave him goosebumps to be out there and to see these great players, and that he was there, and that maybe he was meant to be there. Maybe this break was just what he needed. And I think that was really key to him coming back and telling me, I've still got it. I've still really got it, Dad.
But perhaps no moment proved that more than a legendary round of golf in Georgia this past July. Playing with some friends in Sea Island, Griffin shot a 59 over 18 holes, capped off by a 155-yard shot to hole out.
Not many people can say they shot 59. I think Tiger's done it once in his life. And then there's a select few other guys on the PGA Tour that have done it. And it was one of the most surreal experiences. 155 yards from the fairway is a shot that you're not expecting to make. And I actually hadn't holed out a shot from that far in quite a long time.
More recently, Griffin had one of his best professional tournaments ever, finishing fourth at the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro earlier this month. The Wyndham has been played since 1938, and this year's field featured PGA stars Will Zalatoris, Ricky Fowler, and Stuart Sink. Cowan and the rest of Ben's family were there to celebrate.
It was somewhat of a family affair. It was exciting, a little nerve-wracking at times, but it turned out to be shocking, unbelievable. I mean, to have Jim Nantz calling out your name is pretty special.
Now, just a couple years after working as a loan officer, Griffin will be competing on the PGA Tour against the best golfers in the world in the 2022-23 season. At just 26 years old, it's easy to see why Cowan believes the sky's the limit for his son. Ben, meanwhile, is understandably a little busier now than he was at CIMG. The former All-American has made stops in Idaho and Ohio just in the past 2 weeks. But Ben said it's all part of the world of golf, a world he intends to stay in for good this time. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
And finally in baseball, another loss for the Durham Bulls last night, 9-2 to Nashville. That's two in a row now for the Bulls. They'll look to beat the Sounds and get back on the winning track in Game 3 tonight in the D-Bap at 6:35.